stating the obvious, of course, Easter is a Christian time of the year. And Christians will be commemorating Easter in a variety of ways, I suppose. And Easter, I suppose, unlike Christmas, has the very sad part to it, Good Friday, and then it has the resurrection, of course, of Easter Sunday. So each and every day around Christmas, I suppose, has its own identity. So we thought we would have a chat to Sister Kerry Willison from the Archdiocese, the Catholic Archdiocese of Perth, just to have a bit of a chat about what goes on the various days. G'day, Sister Kerry. How are you?
Good, thank you. Lovely to be with you this evening.
Yes, and you'll be pleased to know that whilst we've been talking a lot about Easter eggs and their meaning, we're not going to talk about Easter eggs in this little segment tonight. We're going to talk about what goes on as far as the actual commemorations of the various days of Easter are concerned.
That sounds great, but just remember, I still enjoy an Easter egg.
Yeah, don't we all? Don't we all? Easter really starts on what is called Holy Thursday, does it not? Was that what we used to term Maundy Thursday, or do we still call it that?
Yeah, no, it's called Holy Thursday now, and you're correct. There's a triduum, which means, of course, triduum is a Latin word for 3 days, and Maundy Tuesday, which was the term that's used, and some people still use it, really refers to what's called the Mandatum, which is a reading from St. John's Gospel, and there's more to that in Latin, which I won't bore you with my bad translation, but translated into English, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." So the Holy Thursday ritual holds a couple of key elements associated with the whole Christian baptismal call, you might say. And it's remembering the anniversary of these particular events in Jesus' life. So, yeah, Holy Thursday is, as I said, it can be called Maundy Thursday, and it refers to that particular phrase, a new commandment, yeah.
Okay, so what sort of commemorations of Holy Thursday, straight Maundy Thursday, is the Catholic Church planning this year?
Well, we have a set of rituals which we use every year. So they don't change as such within the context of the prayers, I suppose, and the ritual symbols, but they might be played out differently in some of our parishes slightly, but they follow a ritual text. And Archbishop Costello in the cathedral last night at what we call the blessing of the oils used a phrase which was, again, my bad Latin, is lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi, which means, really roughly translated, as we pray, so we believe, and as we believe, so we are called to live. So our ritual prayers in all our celebrations over Easter and all our celebrations throughout the year really call us, or ideally are meant to inspire us, even though they're a little bit poetic in some ways, to really grasp that spirit of mission, that spirit of service. And the celebration on Holy Thursday, they have what's called the washing of the feet. And it's a very powerful part of the ceremony where the priest will kneel down. And I've actually been sort of drawn to tears on the odd occasion, doesn't happen very often, but watching one of our elderly priests kneel down and actually physically wash someone's feet. Mm. Like, we don't really do that, you know? And the whole, it's inspiring us, I suppose, that how do I wash people's feet? Now, I'm not going to get down physically and do it, but that call to service, how do I serve others as Jesus invited me to serve? So that's a pivotal part of the celebration on Holy Thursday.
What, and the Pope actually, we see this on television, unless I'm mistaken, the Pope gets together a few, usually priests, I suppose, maybe the cardinals as well, and he washes their feet, doesn't he?
Well, Pope Francis has really been quite inspirational in this regard, because there certainly was a sort of legislation, one might say, within the church that it was 12 men. But look, we're not reenacting. In our rituals, we're not reenacting the actual events. We're remembering the event within the context of how we live our lives. So Pope Francis has been amazingly inspirational in that regard. I think you might have seen, I think it was last year, he went into a prison and washed a number of feet of men and women.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's sort of that that little bit of a barrier, I suppose you might call it, whatever, in the church is broken down, because we're not reenacting the event. We're remembering the event and how it affects our lives. So that's been quite a great bit of progress, I think, in relation to this ritual.
Definitely. What about the Stations of the Cross? When are they celebrated?
Well, throughout Lent in our parish churches, they would have had Stations of the Cross on a Friday, but a Friday evening. But during Holy Week, the Triduums, I suppose, there is a tradition that the Stations are celebrated on Good Friday morning in many of the churches around Perth at 10 o'clock, and it's amazing the number of people. And I suppose, again, when you look at the ritual, it kind of links in sometimes to our own pain and suffering. You know, that we too, as people, how do we overcome our suffering? And I think that's where the message of Jesus is about living in hope. There wasn't just the death, there was the resurrection, but the message of how to live in hope, you know, be for others, love one another, and so on.
Mm. Yep. Then we have, what we call colloquially, I suppose, Easter Saturday. Is that still known as Holy Saturday?
Well, Easter Saturday in the day is a bit of a dead day, really, because, so to speak. Sorry, that was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Yeah, it's a bit of a dead day. Because at the end of the ceremony on Good Friday, because there's a ceremony on Good Friday at 3 o'clock, where we actually remember the Passion of Jesus, the readings from the Gospel of John are read, and we actually rethink or remember again what Jesus went through, and there's the carrying up of the cross and, you know, there's special intercessions. But at the end of that ritual on Good Friday, which happens pretty much in all our churches at 3 p.m, you leave the church in silence, just as you do on Holy Thursday, because it's like one big story. So you don't end it until you get to the vigil on Saturday night, the Easter vigil on Saturday night. So on the Saturday, it's a very much a quiet day. The church is empty. The sanctuary lamps are off. Jesus has died. We've remembered his death on Good Friday, you know. But then there's also the preparations in our churches for the big Easter vigil. Lots of flowers, white cloth. You know, the choirs are all ready to sing the Alleluias and the Glorias at the Easter vigil, which is a wonderful event.
And then, of course, we've got Easter Sunday, which is the culmination, no doubt, of the Easter weekend.
Well, interestingly enough, the vigil ritual on the Saturday night is really the big ritual of what we call the Triduum, because remember I said Triduum 3, meaning Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then the vigil on the Holy Saturday. And that starts after dark, because we now light candles to remember that Christ has died but come back into our lives, you know, through that. And so, again, that telling of the stories in the Old Testament, moving to the New Testament with the great commandment, which again is echoed in the Easter Vigil, which is love one another as I have loved you. And the Sunday morning is a wonderful event, because often you get a lot of kids and families and they're looking for that Easter egg at the end of Mass, which pretty much all the priests have ready for the kids as they go out. And it's just a very joyful occasion and a wonderful time to see our families there, you know. So, yeah.
It's also a time where you see the so-called faithful attending Mass and other services, perhaps for the only time other than Christmas, throughout the year. How do you view that, Sister Kerry?
Look, I just think people's lives are so complex. You know, to get Jesus in there somewhere is fantastic. You know, and it's about, again, I go back to the sort of the words of Archbishop Costello last night at a celebration in the cathedral, you know, when he's lex credendi, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex credendi, it meaning we pray as so we believe, so and so we are called to live. You know, we're living in tough times, both around the world and certainly in the Australian church. So, you know, the fact that people come, I'm always happy to be at the door and say welcome. Great to see you.
And what about those of other faiths who just feel moved enough to want to attend a Catholic service? Are they welcome?
More than welcome. Yeah, more than welcome. Look, yes, our doors are open. Our church doors are open for people. Well, unfortunately, sometimes during the week they're not because of various things. You know, you can't leave doors open a lot. But in terms of, our doors are open. Come, celebrate with us, sing with us, pray with us, and celebrate the risen Lord. Celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, and the message, the very strong message that the world needs today of don't give up on peace, don't give up on looking after your neighbour, don't give up on, you know, so many aspects of life. You know, give. You will receive in abundance when you give to others in your life,
Indeed. And on to the really important question in regards to Easter, what we're going to eat over Easter. What's the form these days for Good Friday? Is it just a bit of fish and hot cross buns, or has that all changed?
No. It's good to fast on Good Friday. That's certainly part of the church's tradition, is to fast a little. Of course, depending on your age as well as to whether you fast, and you must always make sure you take medications and be hydrated correctly. But, yes, fish on Good Friday is a good call. And, light meals. And then, of course, after the Easter Vigil, have a party. And Easter Sunday, I'm going to my brother's. We've got the menu set. I can't wait.
Oh, good. What's on the menu, Kerry? We might turn up ourselves.
Well, we're thinking my brother cooks a really beautiful piece of pork. We're also going to do a ham on the barbie, which I do.
So there won't be too many Muslims or Jews attending, obviously.
Well, not my brother's place. But look, if they came, we'd invite them in and we'd something to eat.
Oh, look, isn't it terrific that we can actually laugh about that when so many other people of, politically correctness gone crazy type people, would think that's a bit in for a dig, but
I think we do have to be sensitive to other faiths. I agree with you, but that's definitely what's on the menu at my brother's place. I can assure you.
Well, hope you enjoy every morsel. And are you allowed as a nun to have a quiet glass of wine on Easter Sunday?
Well, I'm a bit more partial to champagne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And most of my friends will tell you that. Yeah.
So are you a Mowat girl or a Veuve Clicquot girl?
I'm probably Veuve Clicquot, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's only for special occasions and if somebody gives it to me, of course.
Yeah, on days ending in a Y, yeah. Oh, Kerry, it's been fantastic talking to you, I hope we can do it again sometime. And all the very, very best to you and yours for a very holy and a very happy Easter.
Yeah, and I pray also that the people of the world, the people of our country, will have a safe and holy Easter as well.